theme of research, and I'm a doctoral student at Columbia University in Environmental Health Sciences. And for the presentation today, I'm going to be discussing an intervention that I conducted in Bangladesh to evaluate the impact of training community promoters in reducing arsenic exposure. And so this project was funded by NIEHS Superfund grant. It was also funded by the Earth Institute at Columbia University, and I received a Fulbright Fellowship to live in Bangladesh for 18 months and implement the intervention. And so the arsenic crisis in Bangladesh. Over 50 million people in Bangladesh are exposed to elevated levels of arsenic in the drinking water. This has been associated with health effects such as skin lesions, cancers of the skin, bladder, and lungs, reproductive and developmental effects, cardiovascular disease, non-malignant lung disease, and defects in childhood cognitive function and also in motor function. So researchers from Bangladesh and the U.S. in 2006, implemented a study to evaluate other people who were originally exposed to arsenic when the problem arose, what type of arsenic mitigation options are they currently utilizing? And so what they found was that 57% of the population wasn't utilizing any form of arsenic mitigation. They were still exposed to the same levels they were exposed to over 10 years ago. The most commonly used arsenic mitigation option was well switching at 29%. And that involves a person that has an unsafe well, they switch to an alternative drinking water source, which is usually located close to their home. The next most common arsenic mitigation option was the installation of deep tube wells, and this was at 12%. So with deep tube wells, if you dig down to lower aquifers, you tend to be able to find low arsenic water. So 12% of the population is utilizing this option. Technological mitigation options, such as arsenic removal devices and pond sand filters, only comprise a very small proportion of the arsenic mitigation options utilized within the country. So this gives us an idea of the state of the arsenic situation in Bangladesh. So how do we normally deal with arsenic mitigation in Bangladesh? Typically, what happens is someone from outside the community comes in and they test the two wells for arsenic. When this person leaves, they leave communities without an in-depth knowledge of the health implications of arsenic. Usually they're not providing any arsenic education. And they also aren't able to provide continued testing over time. As people install new wells, there's no one there to test it for them. And so our research group at Columbia conducted a study where we looked at the effectiveness of this form of arsenic mitigation, the government NGO testing. And what we found was of the 2,100 households that we surveyed that had unsafe wells, only one-third switched after receiving this outside tester model where someone came in and just did water arsenic testing. In contrast, in the Columbia study area where there were ongoing health studies, there was village-level and household-level education programs going on. And so you had village health workers going to households weekly or biweekly. We found that of the 3,400 households that we surveyed, two-thirds switched to alternative drinking water sources. And given our knowledge of health studies, this finding may not be as surprising as we think, because if you have a research project in which you've been working in the village for 10 years, you would expect that the behavior would be different. And so we hypothesized that the impact that we saw was at least in part to the presence of the village health workers. But to make it a generalizable model, we needed to look at an area where there were no ongoing health studies by Columbia or anyone else, and also where there were no ongoing arsenic interventions. And so we selected an area in Bangladesh, which is northwest of Dhaka, called Shingai. And Shingai was an area where there were no ongoing health studies or arsenic interventions. This map here shows the arsenic distribution in Bangladesh. The darker colors represent areas that have higher arsenic concentrations. And so we selected an area of moderate arsenic contamination to conduct the study. The hypothesis behind the study was that training someone within a village to routinely perform arsenic testing, water arsenic testing, and providing arsenic education would be more effective than having someone from outside the village come and perform these same tasks. And so to test this hypothesis, we designed a cluster-based randomized control trial where the cluster was at the village level. We randomly selected 1,000 households in 20 villages, and within each village, we randomly selected 50 households. And so we matched our villages at baseline based on the proportion of unsafe wells that were in the village. We did this from a household drinking water survey that we implemented in 6,700 households within the study area. And so we had two intervention arms. We had one arm of 10 villages which received a community tester, and this person lived within the village that they were working in. They were providing arsenic education and water arsenic testing. In a second set of villages, we had an outside person, which was defined as someone that lived outside of the union that they lived in. I guess this would be similar to the county in the U.S. And this person provided the same services. And we evaluated the outcomes 4 to 6 months later. And so the outcome measures that we looked at were questionnaire-reported well switching, which again is someone with an unsafe well switching to an alternative drinking water source. And we looked at change in urinary arsenic concentrations at baseline, from baseline to follow-up. The eligibility criteria for this study was that the person that we selected in the household had to be responsible for primary drinking water collection. They had to collect the majority of their drinking water from an untested well, since we were providing arsenic testing services. And the person had to be 18 years of age or older. The exclusion criteria were if they had an arsenic filter, obtained water from an arsenic treatment plant, or did not have one well from which they collect most of their drinking water. And so now I'm going to explain the intervention. So for the intervention, the arsenic testers provided a 40-minute arsenic educational session. In this session, they discussed the health implications of arsenic. They talked about the effects of arsenic on child and maternal health, the skin lesions. They discussed the effect on chronic diseases, cardiovascular diseases. And during the sessions, anyone that was present when the household visit was conducted was invited to attend. And our average numbers were around 10. The household sessions tend to be around 10 people because extended family would come or interested neighbors would come to the sessions. During the sessions, we tested the well water for arsenic using a field water arsenic test kit called the Hawk Easy Kit. And this took a 40-minute duration, so we were able to start the test at the beginning of the session, and at the end, we were able to provide the result to the study household. So based on the arsenic concentration of the household's two wells, we attached a placard relative to the Bangladesh arsenic standard of 50 micrograms per liter. So if it was below the Bangladesh standard, we attached a green placard, and if it was above, we attached a red placard. And so if the well was found to be unsafe, the arsenic testers provided assistance with locating an arsenic-safe drinking water source a household could use, and this typically involved additional well testing within the area. So for our baseline characteristics, we did not observe any significant differences between age, literacy, land ownership, or baseline knowledge of arsenic between the two intervention groups. However, we did observe that there was a significant difference between well ownership, the proportion of unsafe wells in the village, the minutes to an arsenic-safe drinking water source, and the baseline urinary arsenic levels. And so we attribute this finding to the fact that the study area that we worked in had a large proportion of untested wells, around 60%. And when we went back and tested these wells, we found that a large proportion were unsafe within our community tester villages opposed to our outside tester villages. And I just think this slide is striking because if you look at wells that are people who live in villages that have over 60% arsenic contamination, it was 70% in the community tester villages, which is huge, opposed to only 32% in the outside tester villages. So we really did have a problem with our randomization, even though we attempted to try to match for this at baseline. And so the hypothesis behind the study was that the community tester was going to be more effective than the outside tester because of the additional reinforcement they could provide through their continued presence in the village. We tested this hypothesis using a generalized estimating equation to adjust for within village differences. The odds ratio presented was adjusted for the proportion of unsafe wells within the village, the minutes to an arsenic-safe drinking water source, well ownership, and baseline urinary arsenic levels that were adjusted for creatinine. We found that there was not a significant difference between the two types of arsenic testers. However, we did find that overall, of the people who were in the intervention that received the arsenic education and water arsenic testing, 53% switched to alternative drinking water sources. And this is much higher than we observed previously with the NGO government testing model, where only 30% of the households switched after receiving water arsenic testing. And this demonstrates the successfulness of the intervention in providing arsenic awareness and the impact that it had on people's well switching behavior. So we also looked at change in urinary arsenic levels at baseline and follow-up, and we found that the group of people with unsafe wells that switched to alternative drinking water sources had a significant reduction at follow-up in their urinary arsenic levels. And this demonstrates that intervention was successful at reducing a biomarker of arsenic exposure in the population. And so for households that did not switch and households that had safe wells, we didn't observe a significant difference in their urinary arsenic levels. And so we assessed knowledge of arsenic within the population by administering a 20-item quiz on the health implications of arsenic and mitigation options. And we found that there was a significant increase in people's knowledge of arsenic at follow-up after receiving the intervention. And this slide here shows the distribution, so you can see the shift to the right at follow-up in terms of people's knowledge increasing as a result of the intervention. We also looked at barriers to well switching, because we saw that 47% of the population did not switch. And so we discovered that the proportion of unsafe wells in a respondent's village and minutes to an arsenic-safe drinking water source were strong barriers. And this makes sense. Even if we're providing education and well testing, but people don't have anywhere to switch to, then they're not going to be able to use a safe drinking water source. And we also found that well ownership was a significant barrier. In terms of people's income in Bangladesh, to be able to purchase a well takes a lot of their income. And these people are more reluctant to switch than people who are sharing a well with a neighbor. And again, the proportion of unsafe wells was significantly higher in the community tester villages. And we attribute this in part to our null finding that the people in the community tester villages just didn't have options for switching. So to go into this in more depth, I stratified the data based on the availability of arsenic-safe drinking water sources. And we found, as I stated before, that 53% had switched overall. However, when we stratified this by the proportion unsafe in the village, we found that in villages that had between 0 and 60% unsafe wells, that 72% of the people were switching as a result of our intervention. And there was actually a recent report by UNICEF and the Bangladeshi government that showed that 77% of the population lives in areas that have between 0 and 60% unsafe wells. Therefore, this intervention provides a viable option to reduce arsenic exposure in the majority of the areas in Bangladesh. So we observed 72% in that scenario. However, when we looked at people who had lived in areas that had greater than 60% unsafe wells, we saw the switching was much lower at 35%. And again, this is because they didn't have anywhere to switch to. And so in the future, if this type of intervention is conducted, it likely needs to include technological arsenic mitigation options in areas where people are highly exposed, such as arsenic removal devices or pond sand filters, so that these people have options for switching. So in conclusion, we found that the community and outside tester were equally effective in terms of encouraging households to use an arsenic-safe drinking water source. As I said before, we think this is in part due to the higher proportion of unsafe wells we saw in the community tester villages. However, we strongly believe that the community testers are a more sustainable option for arsenic mitigation because of their continued presence in the village over time. They're able to provide education over time. They're able to provide testing as people install new wells. And so the results of this study suggest that arsenic education and water arsenic testing provides an effective option for reducing arsenic exposure in Bangladesh, given that there's available arsenic-safe drinking water sources for households to use. Thank you.